Today's reading is from the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verses 8 through 21. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Thank you, Dave. Let us pray and ask God to be our teacher this morning. Speak to us. Our Father, we open your word and we read these words and we realize that you are wonderful in revealing to us all that we need to know about Christian living and how to please you. We read today about your Spirit and how He is meant to fill us, and we are to live in the light of that. We pray that as we consider this together and as we look into your word, that you will be our teacher and that we will learn from you, and Lord, that we'll apply it to our lives in ways that only you can do. And so we pray for your Spirit to work in us and then through us as a result of our exposure to your living word this morning. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going through the book of Ephesians on the theme of our new identity in Christ, who we are in Christ, our new identity. Well, I couldn't think of a better illustration as the royal wedding yesterday, because Meghan Markle has now got a new identity. She's now royalty, Her Royal Highness, we need to say before her name. Who would have guessed that living in her neighborhood in LA as a child, as she grew up, that she would end up being royalty? And that transition into royalty, which occurred yesterday, the actual formal commitment to be royalty, to be wedded to Harry, brought her into a whole new identity as a person. And already she's had to adjust her living. She's deleted all her social media, and she's willing to conform to what the Queen and the Crown and the whole expectations of being part of the royal family. She's had to conform to that because of her new identity. And we have a new identity, and we are royalty. When you come to faith in Christ, you transition from being separated from God and in our sins and under God's judgment, into not just being forgiven and made right with God, but that we are transitioned into becoming sons and daughters of the living God, that we have now a new identity. And as such, just like Meghan Markle, Meghan Markle, however you pronounce her name. That in Australia, you say Megan when you use her name. So that's why I say Megan, but it's Meghan, isn't it? Yeah, anyway. That she now is now living a different lifestyle simply because of her new identity. And so it is with us. And I want to talk today about spirit-filled living. That is what the summary of the message is. And I know that a few months ago, I preached through spirit-filled living as a series, but I'm going to tackle this from a slightly different perspective, and so it will be different. Spirit-filled living in this passage that we've just had read to us, it's what is really meant to be in our Christian life. So we have looked in chapter 4, we've seen the way that we're to put off the old life and because of our new identity and put on the new. And so we went through, didn't we, in chapter 4, that having put off like a garment our old nature and old life and put on the new, comes out in a very practical way when he says that means that you replace or put off falsehood and put on truth. That's to do with your new identity. And replace anger with self-control. Replace stealing with working and with your hands and giving to those in need. Replacing evil talk with edifying talk. Replacing bitterness and anger with forgiveness and love. And then, as we had read to us this morning, replacing impurity with thanksgiving. And so that is part of living out our new identity. But then, those are all commands that we're to do those things, replace those things with the new lifestyle. But then in verse 15 it says, be careful then. Having said all that, Paul says, now, thinking about that, be careful then how you live. And he leads on to one final command. All those other commands are there, but this is the final. And it's not just the final command, it's the key to all the others. And that is, don't live a foolish lifestyle, don't be drunk with wine, but be commanding, he says, be filled with the Spirit. So, to be filled with the Spirit is a practical, life-related issue. It is not just some experience up there that you have, some people might have and others may not have. Being filled with the Spirit is very life-related and very practical. I remember we went to a conference in Queensland in Australia, which we used to go to every year. And this particular year they had Wayne Barber. I actually looked him up online last night and found that he passed into the Lord's presence. He's younger than me. And that was last year. 2 years ago, 2016. And he's from Chattanooga. And if you look online, he's got amazing teaching ministry. Anyway, he, at that conference, all the way through, he was talking about the spirit-filled life. And remember, he taught us this song, and we sang it again and again and again. And that is the song that says, Jesus, be Jesus in me. And you'll see the words up there. It's very simple. It's very short. That's it. But Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. In me. That is spirit-filled living. That is what it means, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, and when we say we have Christ in us, we have His Spirit in us. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, and it's Jesus living in my life and being Jesus in me, that He's free to live His life of love and holiness and truth, that He is able to He's filling me, he's governing me, he's ruling in my life, and so we have the whole idea of spiritual living as Jesus, being Jesus in me. All right, let's look at it as we see it in this passage. What does it mean, or what does it involve, to be spirit-filled in our lifestyle? First of all, it's a new control. Because that's the whole idea. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. There's a contrast here between two controlling influences. To be under the influence of alcohol or to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. We get DUIs, don't we? Or we don't, but some people do get DUIs. Well, this is LUI, living under the influence of the Spirit of God, not driving under the influence of alcohol. So we have the idea of control. So to be filled, remember in the New Testament, you read through the Gospels, for instance, the chief priests, they were filled with anger and rage at times. That means they didn't just get angry. Their anger and their rage controlled them and made them do and say things that they wouldn't have done had they not been filled with rage or filled with jealousy or filled with grief, where everything else pales away and you're so dominated by your grief, you can't think or do anything much outside of that. Or filled with joy, where your life is totally transformed because you're full of joy. You don't just have joy, you're filled with joy. And that's the idea here. The same word is used in this context, that don't be filled or drunk with wine, but be filled, controlled completely by the Spirit of God. Or if you like, your life is totally given over to the Spirit's rule, if you like, Jesus' rule in your life. Living under the Spirit's control, not under the law. It's not that the Christian life is saying, all right, here's all the laws and rules, now we need to make sure we remember them and do them. The one who wrote the law and gave the commands in the Bible now lives in me. So I follow him. It doesn't contradict what God has revealed already in his word, because it's the same author. It's the same person. But now that God who wrote the law, who gave the commands, now lives in me. So I allow his Spirit to rule me. And guess what? I don't have to have the law. The law is written on my heart. The Spirit of God guides me into how I should live, consistent again with what God has already revealed in his word. Both of Paul's prayers in this book, in chapter 1 and in chapter 3, emphasize the Spirit's empowerment for living and how that is part of our new identity. And just as an aside, in Ephesus, the culture there, and with the big temple for Diana, where there was it was dominating in the whole culture of the city, they thought that drunkenness was a means of communicating with the spirits and the gods. And so they would get into a frenzy and hype themselves up and drink wine until they were so blotto. Do you use that word here? Well, in Australia we say blotto. You know, they're blotto. They're totally drunk. And so when a person was totally blotto, then what happened was they felt that they sort of emerged into and had communication with the spirits or with their gods. And so it could be that Paul was writing in giving that contrast, but it's more likely that it was to do with the negativity of drunkenness. And so we move on to the contrast of the two outcomes. Not only a contrast of the two controlling influences that he has of drunkenness or alcohol and the Spirit, but also the contrast of the outcomes. If you are controlled by wine or alcohol or any intoxication at all, what is the outcome of that? And then if you're controlled by the Spirit, what is the outcome of that? So let's look at that. First of all, the two outcomes show, in this passage, it emphasizes wise and foolish living. Look at verses 15 to 18, and a little summary is up there on your passage on the screen, so you can see he really does emphasize this important issue of wise living or foolish living. He says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. So do not be foolish, do not get drunk with wine. But, and he said, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's a parallelism there. And so it's very clear that he's saying that to be filled with wine is foolish, and to be filled with the Spirit is wise. It's doing what the will of the Lord is. And that really is that we are called to live under the influence, as I said earlier, of the Spirit, not alcohol. What does alcohol do when we are under the control of alcohol or any mood-altering substance? First of all, we lose control. Drunkenness leads to, it says here, debauchery. What's that word? The word actually means wild and uncontrolled. It's the same word that was used by the prodigal son. Of the prodigal son, when he left his father with all his wealth that he had taken with him, and he wasted his wealth in what? Riotous living, I think one, or wild living, one translation has it. That's exactly the same word. And so here we have a loss of control through drunkenness. Next, through drunkenness we have a loss of judgment. That people do things they would never do. That's why we have so many teen pregnancies. Because when they get drunk, when we get drunk, we do stuff we would never do otherwise. Alcohol-related accidents in this nation account for nearly one-third of the traffic-related deaths that occur. One-third as a result of alcohol-related driving accidents. It says something, doesn't it? The loss of understanding is another thing. Try giving directions to a person who's drunk. You know, how do I get to Short Street? Well, you take a left down there and you go around the roundabout and you go across. He's gone, or she's gone. Can't compute. Try explaining a scientific or complex medical procedure to them, and you've got no hope. But yet, when they're not drunk, when they're sober, you can do all that, and they understand, they follow it, and they compute. So there's loss of understanding, there's loss of balance. The other day I had a test with the Carmel Rehab, and Chuck got me to walk along a line heel to toe on this line, and it wasn't hard, but I had to concentrate, you know, for balance. But if I was drunk, you know, I would never be able to do that. But it's not just balance of body; it's the balance of mind. When you're drunk, when you've had too much to drink, your mind is unbalanced. So things that are not important become important, and vice versa. In fact, a doctor I read says that alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant, although it's advertised as a stimulant. You know, get high, enjoy, fill your life with happiness, a happy hour, and all the rest of it. But it's not a stimulant, it is a depressant. And what that means is that it suppresses the higher senses and leaves us operating on a more primitive and lower, if you like, even animal element. And so people get high and get stuff, get excited and do all sorts of stuff, but it's because the higher capacities we have are blanked out. And that's why we do things that we regret. And there's a loss of restraint because of alcohol. To be filled with the Spirit is a huge contrast to that. No, don't be controlled by alcohol. Be controlled by the Spirit, he says. Just another aside, he says here, because the days are evil. In evil days, don't turn to alcohol. When things go hard or tough for you, when things go belly up in your finances, or when you have problems fear or discrimination against you, or perspective and self, concern about the future, or you're seeking to live a certain way, and the world around you is really pressing in on you, or whatever it might be, that don't turn to alcohol. Be filled with the Spirit in when the evil day comes. All right, so we now see that it is a control issue, that we either control by a substance, or the contrast is there between that and the Spirit of God controlling us. Now we see, secondly, that it's a command. And this is really important, because all God's commands are to be obeyed. This is not just an option. This is not for some super spiritual Christians who are filled with the Spirit. This is basic for every single Christian, for you and for me. To be filled, he says. I command you. This is what Christianity is. It's so important. It's commanded in this way. So our command is, as I said earlier, not to do these rules and not do those things, but to a whole new principle of living, to let Jesus be Jesus in me. He lives in me, and he controls me. So when I face fear, I don't turn to alcohol. He gives me peace. He gives me courage to keep on going when I'm filled with his Spirit. And when I'm facing temptation, he is there to empower me to actually push through and do the right thing. And when I face discouragement or loneliness or hurt or hostility, he is there to fill me and to enable me to cope, and to not just cope, to experience his peace, his joy, his presence when I'm lonely. The other day, Marg had lunch with the ladies over in Pam and Lane's place, and I've sat and had my lunch by myself, and I thought, I hate being by myself. Come home! But I imagine, you know, if I had to live alone all the time, it would be so hard. And it must be so hard for some here who face that every day. And to know that he wants us to reach out to him and allow him to fill us with his presence and to draw near to him. And he promises he will draw near to us. So it is a command. It's an imperative. But it's also a passive command. He actually doesn't say, although it is a command, he doesn't say, you fill yourself with the Spirit of God. He says, you allow the Spirit of God to fill you. You do what it needs to be done in order for his Spirit to fill you. And what that really means is, hey, I've got to remove anything that will prevent him from filling me. If he's not filling me, it's because I've got sin or doubt. Faith is what is needed. I need to trust him to fill me. So if I doubt, if I don't believe, it's not going to happen. Or if there's something in my life that he's not pleased with, then how can he fill me? Anything from love of money to doing actual sins, bad attitudes, whatever it might be. So it is passive. Let the Spirit of God fill you. There's no technique. It is just something that we have to trust God and allow him to do. And thirdly, it is in the present tense. So it could be translated, go on being filled with the Spirit of God, or allowing him to fill you. Keep on continually living in that mode, that his Spirit is in control of your life. Jesus is being Jesus in me. And thirdly, there's the consequence. Because the consequence of drunkenness, we all know. And the consequence, however, of the living under the Spirit's rule or control is, as we see it here, first of all, we're filled with the life of God. Isn't it interesting that he goes on from this and says, immediately, when you are filled with the Spirit, let me read it. Be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the command is then followed by these, what are called in the present participles in the grammar. But it's important, because what it's saying is the command is there to be filled with the Spirit, and the flow on from that, if you obey the command, well then, this is how it will actually work out. Here is how it will show. To be filled with the Spirit will mean, in corporate worship, you'll be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That you'll be part of, it will affect your corporate worship. You won't just come and sit in the pew and sing a song without really being engaged with the words and worshiping and sharing with others in corporate worship, not just sitting and singing or standing and singing. So in corporate worship it'll affect that, but also in personal worship, because he goes on, singing, making melody or music in your heart to the Lord. How's your worship life? How's my worship life? In my quiet times, every morning when I have them, because sometimes I do miss and I have to say, oh, I'll get to church and I might spend a bit of time over morning coffee or something and spend some time with the Lord then. But I seek every day to have time alone with God before I head off to work. And in that time, after I've read the Word and meditated and spent time thinking about it and letting God speak to me, I have a list of things in my app that I go through for prayer, and the first one is worship. And it reminds me every time the priority of worship. Oh Lord, what was it that you revealed to me this morning in your word that will engender worship? That I can come back to you and say, God, you're a wonderful God, and just worship him. And I need that. I need to remind myself the importance of worship. And when the Spirit of God fills us, it should move us to worship him from the heart. And then in genuine thanksgiving, he says, in every situation, no matter what it is, to always giving thanks to the Father, God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in mutual submission, where he says, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then actually he goes on and he deals with some issues that we're going to look at in the weeks to come. That is, he'll be looking at mutual submission in the marriage. He'll be looking at mutual submission in the family and in the workplace. So being filled with the Spirit flows into your whole life in a practical way. And if we go to the chapter 4 and the early part of chapter 5, we find that to be filled with the Spirit is really to be filled with the love of God. That we're to put away all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice, to be filled with love. As it says, live a life of love where we are kind, compassionate and forgiving. That is a major evidence of the Spirit of God filling us. And then lastly, in verses 8 through 16, we find, or really verses 3 through 16, which we had part of that read to us, that we are filled with the light of God. So we're filled with the life of God, his Spirit in us, moving us to worship and to live our lives out in that way. And then the love of God, and thirdly, the light of God. You were once darkness, he says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. Because you've got to have not to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. All kinds of sexual sin and any kind of even jesting and laughter about it, he says, and stupid talk, all that kind of stuff that is centered around sexuality, he says, you've got to get rid of all that, but you're to live as children of light, because you are children of light. Live your identity. You are children of light live as children of light. I don't envy Meghan Markle, or, as she is now, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Sussex, Rachel Meghan Mountbatten Windsor. That's her new identity. She's got a new name, she's got a new identity, she's got a new lifestyle. And all she has to do is learn the rules. And she's in the middle of doing that now. As a royal, she has to know those rules and the protocols and everything to do with being royalty. She will want to please the Queen. However, what if in some miraculous way the Queen could invade Meghan and her spirit dwell within Meghan? She wouldn't need the rules. She'd know instinctively, oh, I shouldn't do that. I'm a royal. Get it? Jesus, you live in me. So Jesus, be Jesus in me. Let's sing our final song and think of the words as we do, and worship our Lord and give him thanks. Thank you, everyone.